So Lord, would be pleased to help us. We would seek to consider words that you will find together, that we read together, and seek to consider these words. In Philippians chapter 4, and at verse 13. Philippians chapter 4, and at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We see from this epistle how much the Apostle Paul loved with a particularly warm affection for the Church of Christ in Philippi. And he commends them for their kindness toward him, and how they were careful to minister to his needs, though there were times when that was not possible. Their care flourished again after a time when they had no opportunity to show him their care for him. But whatever the case would be, he had learned something very precious, very important, that in whatever state he was, whether they were able to send their kindness to him or not, whatever state he was in materially or physically, he had learned this. He had learned to be content. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. That is someone who has learned much, who has been taught much, and who has been given great grace. In whatever situation he is in this life, he's been initiated into the secret of godliness with contentment, which is great gain. And whether the Philippians or other churches will be able to reach him with their kindness and their generosity, whatever the case may be or not, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Whether he has their support or not, he has the support of Christ. He has reinforcement from Christ, and that enables him in every possible situation he may find himself to be in whatever duty he is called to, in whatever work is before him, whatever obstacles, whatever trials and difficulties. If he has this, he has everything he needs. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, he's laying hold of a source of strength that will never fail and that will never be exhausted. And that's a great lesson for every one of us. It's a great lesson for the Lord's people to be drawing forth out of Christ's fullness and strength. But it's a lesson for everyone here. It's a lesson for poor sinners. That without Christ, you have nothing. You have no strength for anything. And that's a great lesson that you need to learn if you're going to learn anything, dear friend. Well then, there are four matters that we would desire to bring before you from this verse, this text here. And the first thing that we would notice is our need of strength. Our need of strength. And then in the second place, to notice the strength of Christ. That there is strength in Christ. And then in the third place, to say a few words as enabled about how Christ conveys strength to his people. And then in the fourth and final place, to notice what Christ's strength can do in a believer. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, first of all then, our need of strength. And we were singing there in Psalm 103, frail man, his days are like the grass, as flower and field he grows. Over it the wind doth pass, and it away is gone. Now of the place where once it was, it shall no more be known. And in Psalm 39, our frailty and the brevity of our life in this world is called to our attention. And it's your attention in that matter today, dear friend. Your frailty. Life is frail. Your life in this world is frail. The connection between soul and body is frail. The strength of body is frail. The strength of your mind is frail. We are weakened. As someone once put it, we are but a ruin of an Adam. Adam had far more vigor and strength and intelligence naturally than we do. And he had the blessing of God upon him in a state of innocence. But that is gone now. And the sons of Adam, the sons of man, they are frail. Few of days and born to trouble. As the sparks fly upward. That's your life in this world. And you see, we are also impoverished. We are bankrupt. We have no resources of our own. The very life that you have has been given to you. Your existence in this world will be taken from you. And you do not know the moment when that will be. Can you write over your life today, frail man, frail woman, frail young person, though you be in the vigor of your strength, naturally speaking, you are a frail, frail creature, frail child, frail loved ones, frail, frail, frail everywhere we look. And as we said, man is impoverished. Man has no strength and he has no resources of his own. When the law of God comes to you and says, pay me that thou owest. What are you going to pay with, my dear fellow sinner? When divine justice, avenging justice, lays its account with you, how will you begin to pay your debt? heaped up and accumulated. Every moment you've been in existence in this world, pay me that thou owest for your thoughts and your words and your deeds, which have been in violation continually of my most holy law. You must say to divine justice, but now become exceeding poor and sorrowful am I. You have not a farthing, the least denomination of money that was ever in it. You haven't got a farthing to rub together, to coin, to pay off your debt. Man is frail and man is impoverished. You have no resources spiritually and morally before the God with whom we have to do. Now, is that a reality, dear friend? You hear it continually, but who is that? Who is concerned and affected and moved on account of that reality? See, the reality is, as far as a sinner is concerned, as far as you and I are concerned by nature, we have no strength to believe it. You don't really believe that with all your heart. You won't deny it. Your conscience will not allow you to deny it. But to really believe it with all your heart, that you're so indebted to divine justice on account of your sins against a holy and just and good God, and your sins against the grace of the gospel and the light of the gospel, that if you were to be brought now to give your account before the Lord, you would have no strength to stand before him. If thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, who shall stand? Will you stand, friend? Have you got anything to account with that will make you stand before the Lord? No. But you don't believe that. That if the Lord was to take all your natural life away from you now, your soul would be in the blackness of darkness forever. If you really believed that, that you would be agonizing and striving to get out of that dreadful condition and flee from the wrath which is to come, but you cannot do it. You have no strength. You have no ability. No man can come to me, the Saviour says, except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And you remain in that condition year after year. And what about the people of God? Know their need of strength. They know their need in some measure of divine grace, divine mercy, and divine enabling. But how little we understand if we are the people of God today of our absolute need at all times to rely upon the strength that is in Christ. We are still very full of self-confidence, of relying upon the creature, upon relying on ourselves. And the Lord, in his dealings with his people, will show them time and time again that they have nothing. And will empty his people from vessel to vessel. so that they would not be settled upon their lees. Are you today more convinced of ever than ever of your need of divine strength? You had no strength to believe in Christ, child of grace. If when we were without strength, that Christ died for the ungodly. You had no strength to save yourself from the condemnation due to your sin. But when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. You had no strength to repent of your sin. But if Christ died for the ungodly, the hard-hearted and the impenitent, he is able to convey strength to those who are brought to see their need of divine strength. We come in the second place then to consider the strength that is in Christ. That's what Paul's speaking about here. Christ's strength that he is experiencing. And the strength that is in Christ is the strength of God. Nonetheless, it's the strength of divine omnipotence, the unlimited, infinite power of God to put into effect whatever he has purposed according to his most holy will, in accordance with his most holy nature, who ruleth in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And that none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Pause and reflect on that for a moment, dear friend. The God with whom we have to do is a God of unlimited and unimaginable strength. Were we not trying to say a few weeks ago, from the word of God, Psalm 90, who knows the power of thy wrath, the power of God? Where the word of a king is, there is power. God is able to create the world by the word of his power. He's able to say, let there be light. And there is light from the vast recesses of the universe. There is light. He doesn't need the light of the sun to create light. It's there by the word of his power, bringing all things out of nothing. Who can do that? There's no scientist. There's no computer. There's no machinery. There's no ingenuity of man that can create life. It's impossible. That's reserved alone to the Creator. And we read concerning the Lord Jesus Christ at the beginning of John's Gospel, that all things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And we read concerning him in Hebrews, that he upholdeth all things by the word of his power. Think of the unlimited strength that is required to uphold all things. He hangeth the world upon nothing, we're told in the book of Job. All the laws of gravity and physics, all the workings of biology, all the processes of chemistry, all the moral operations of rational creatures, their accountability, all the judgment that man and angels will be brought to, Christ is upholding all that. He knows the least flicker in your conscience. He knows the motivations of your heart. He knows absolutely every action that you are undertaking and have ever committed. It's all weighed in the balances of his infinite knowledge of you and of his infinite holiness, according to his most holy law. And Christ is upholding you in being, friend. In him we live and move and have our being. But here is a wonderful thing, that the strength of the Lord, that Christ is fully partaker of as the second person of the Trinity, that strength is engaged in a peculiar and wonderful manner on behalf of his people, because he is the mediator of the covenant of grace. And he is the head of all principality and power. And all the power that he has as God is brought to bear upon his work as the mediator, as the Saviour. So that when Christ is a Saviour, he is a Saviour who is mighty to save. And Christ is able to put into effect the purpose of God for the salvation of sinners. There's no dubiety in the work of Christ, whether it will take effect or not. There's no possibility of failure when it comes to a mediator and a redeemer and a saviour who is mighty to save, who travels in the greatness of his strength from eternal purposes to put them into effect in time among the sons of men, to work in the hearts of sinners and to save with an everlasting salvation. The strength of Christ is pledged and engaged in the everlasting covenant, that he would be the strength of his people, that he would be the Saviour, through whom the arm of the Lord would be revealed. The arm of divine strength and power would be engaged on behalf of those who have no strength at all, and no help of man at all, and who can do nothing but sin. Oh, sinner, all your strength is engaged in digging, as it were, the grave of your own eternal ruin. That's the activity of your life. You can go that far. The activity of your life, it's just a digging yourself deeper and deeper into everlasting ruin. But how to get out of that grave of spiritual death leading to eternal destruction? You have it not in your knowledge or in your power. But oh, what a wonderful Saviour is revealed in the Scriptures, who is able to pluck sinners out of that fearful pit wherein there is no water, to pluck them as brands from the burning on the very brink of a lost eternity, to raise them up and to deliver them out of the estate of sin and misery, and to save them with an everlasting salvation in himself. Thou hast an arm that is full of power, and thine hand is great in might. And he is pledged in the covenant to be the strength of his people, to be our refuge and our strength. And as we were trying to point out in the prayer meeting, you have there in Psalm 71, "Thou Lord, who great adversities and sore to me did show, shalt quicken and bring me again from depths of earth below. Though you be as low as any sinner ever was in this world, though you be the chief of sinners, though you be in the most degraded and desperate condition today, though your hands, as it were, are imbrued in the blood of Christ like Jerusalem sinners were." John Bunyan has a book about the Jerusalem sinner being saved, and he makes the point there, and it's a very wonderful point, that Christ would have mercy offered to the very worst of sinners, to those who were the most deeply concerned in the murder of the Prince of Life, so that no one else need despair of obtaining mercy on this side of eternity. If there's mercy in Christ for the chief of sinners, there's mercy in Christ for sinners the like of you and me. And the more you understand of your need of Christ, the more you understand that only his strength will do for such a great sinner as yourself. Now, how was Christ's strength revealed? It was revealed in this way, in his becoming a poor man, subject to all the common infirmities of human nature, yet without sin. He took upon him the likeness of sinful flesh, and yet he had no sin. Death was not working in his human nature. Disease and weakness of that kind was not in him. But the Saviour humbled himself and veiled his divine glory, taking upon him the form of a servant. And he did not exercise his divine power and omnipotent strength in the destruction of his enemies, as he could have done. He displayed divine power in the miracles, but he did not give a full display of the power that was his while he was in this world. Christ, as it were, in his weakness, the weakness of his frail human nature. We read of that. We would hesitate and tremble to say it if it wasn't revealed in the scriptures of truth that he was crucified in weakness. That speaks of the humiliation of Christ. He allowed himself, he willingly allowed the wicked to vent the full hatred of their hearts upon him. He could have driven them back. He could have driven them to hell in a moment, but he did not do it. And in being crucified, Christ was not merely contending with the wicked, not merely contending with the great forces of the kingdom of darkness, but the whole weight and burden of the sin of his people being laid to his account. He bore that. There is where the strength of Christ is revealed, friend. There is where omnipotent strength is revealed. That burden that would have sunk the whole moral creation, every angel, every man, forever under the curse and wrath of God, forever. Christ bore that. The one who was stumbling under the weight of the cross. Oh, but what a weight was in it. The weight of the whole wrath of heaven due to every one of the sins of his people. Who could carry that? (Clears throat) But carry it he did. The reproaches of them that reproached thee have fallen upon me. The whole curse due to every one of his people was borne away by Christ, the scapegoat, into the wilderness of his sufferings, to remove that dreadful burden from the people of God forever. And when he had fully made an end of sin, and he rose triumphantly, conquering death and hell and the grave, there is the strength of Christ, the almighty power of the Saviour, revealed. The blood of Christ has purchased heaven for the very worst of sinners. Oh, where is a power comparable to that? Now, the third thing to notice is how Christ conveys strength to his people. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, this is not the statement, a statement that belongs only to Paul as an apostle. The apostles were able to do wonderful works by miraculous power through the Holy Spirit. But he's not speaking about that. He's speaking about a power that belongs to every one of the Lord's people, because it's pledged to them all in the covenant of grace. We may very little attain to the comfort and the exercise that the apostle had in uttering these words. They may seem exceedingly high for the like of us. We may feel it very beyond our strength of faith, if we have any, to put an amen to these words. But that's the lack of strength of faith in the believer. It's not any lack of provision or strength of promised and pledged grace in the covenant. No, these words belong to every child of grace. They're there, as it were, for you to plead. And how then does Christ convey this strength? Well, he does it in this way, dear friend. By first of all showing you your weakness and your emptiness and your poverty. That's how the strength of Christ begins to be conveyed to a soul. And that's how he continually deals. That's what he's doing when he effectually calls the sinner. Emptying you of all creature dependence. Emptying you of all self-righteousness. Emptying you of high thoughts of self. Emptying you of every carnal notion that you would have of what it is to believe in Christ. Stripping you of everything that is of the flesh. He does that. And he doesn't cease to do it. And he does it time and time again in the experience of his people. That's how the strength of Christ is conveyed. It's by making you see your need of it more and more and more. Without me, the Saviour tells you, you can do nothing. And if you're to enjoy something of the strength that's here, you must be brought to that time and time again. As long as we think we can do something. As long as the believer thinks that in their own resources they can deliver themselves from this predicament, that they think they can get over this sin, that they think they can have wisdom and strength for this duty and this affliction and this trouble. Well, our dependence on Christ is not full. But it's when the Lord humbles you time and time again and brings you to the dust and brings you to nothing, and you put your mouth in the dust and you put your hand on your mouth for shame on account of your inability and your sin and your self-dependence and your pride and your ignorance and your carnality. Then it is that the strength of Christ begins to become operative and precious in the experience of the child of God and of the poor sinner crying out for mercy. What did the Saviour say to Paul when he thrice besought the Lord in a special way, that the thorn in the flesh would be removed? Whatever that was it physical? Was it spiritual? Was it providential? He doesn't tell us. Remember our minister saying that there was wisdom in Paul not telling us what the thorn in the flesh was. If he specified what it was, then we wouldn't be able to follow him largely in it. But the fact that he doesn't specify, it is very wise, because the Lord's people, with their crosses and their thorns and their losses and their trials, they can put their feet, as it were, in the shoes of the apostle, with their thorns in the flesh. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Christ strengthens faith. And in strengthening faith, he strengthens the soul with strength in the inner man. Because faith is laying hold upon Christ's strength, pledged in the promises of the covenant of grace. In the Lord have I righteousness and strength. You have that in the covenant. It's there for you to plead. It's there for you to lay hold of. And it's only the empty, withered, broken, impoverished hand of faith that is able to lay hold of that strength, to take hold of the covenant, to take hold of the all-sufficiency of Christ. We quote these words often because they're so important. Out of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Just when you feel that grace, it has withered up, when grace has come to an end, there's no more mercy for you. There's no more strength for this providential trial. There's no more enabling for that duty. You cannot do it. You've come to an end of yourself. But you haven't come to an end of the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, friend. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that's what faith does. It's laying hold of this omnipotent, unlimited, free, full, and gracious supply. There's no lack in Christ. However straitened you are in yourself, Christ is not straitened. The merit of his blood is of infinite worth. The strength of his promises is engaged and will never fail. Who hath believed the arm of the Lord? Has he ever failed you, child of grace? My flesh and heart doth faint and fail, but God doth fail me never. For off my heart thou art the strength and portion forever. What he does is he conveys faith to the sinner, to enable the sinner to lay hold of Christ. Stretch forth a withered hand. I can't. Repent and believe the gospel. I can't. Turn ye, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? I can't. Flee from the wrath which is to come. I can't. If you make an excuse of that, I can't. And if you lie down on a pillow of apathy and sloth, then you don't really believe that you can't. If you're putting off the day of repentance, it's because you believe it's in your power to repent, in your own strength. At a time convenient, I will hear thee of these things, minister. But if you really believe today that you can't, that you can do nothing but sin yourself to hell, then, my dear friend, you will be crying out and agonizing in the utmost earnestness that was ever in your life about any matter, to flee from the wrath which is to come, that the Lord would create in you a clean heart, that the Lord would deliver you, the Lord would break your stony heart, the Lord would enable you to believe, the Lord would enable you to touch the hem of his garment, that you might be saved from your plagues, that you might be saved from the blood guiltiness of your sin. When you really believe your inability, sinner, that's when you cry out to the Lord for mercy. Oh, will you not cry to him in your need today? To a willing and welcoming Saviour. No man can come unto to me except the Father draw him. But here is good news for you. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And he has power to save you. And he has a willingness to save sinners to the very uttermost. So that when a sinner flees to the blood of Christ for the first time or again and again, it's because of divine strength. This is the beginning of it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The man who had the withered hand, it was strength from Christ that was enabling him to stretch it forth. What a happy meeting. If when there's a willingness from Christ, and that willingness is revealed by the Holy Spirit in the heart, to become a willing people in a day of his power, you'll be asking the Lord then to reveal Christ. Trust in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And he revives faith. Revive and quicken me according to thy word. And he maintains faith in the face of all the providential trials and losses and pains of this world. What a wonderful strength it was from grace that Paul was able to say, I have learned in all things. It wasn't an easy lesson. I've learned in all things. Whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Oh, what strength of character. What strength of faith. What a display of the omnipotent power of grace is in these words. And he increases faith. The disciples were saying, Lord, increase our faith. Things were difficult to believe that Christ was revealing to them. But he can give more grace. He can increase the supply of the Spirit to enable you. What do we have there in these precious words? If you are laying hold of the Creator of the ends of the earth, who fainteth not, neither is weary, he is pledged in the covenant through Christ to give strength to his people. Here is how he does it. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. That's natural strength at its utmost. Ah, but here it is. But they that wait upon the Lord, they who exercise faith in the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run and shall not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, the final point was what Christ's strength can do in a believer. And Paul speaks of it here, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. As one was saying in connection with these words, the idea of, or the word impossible, had no existence as far as the Apostle Paul was concerned. Impossibility was a concept that he did not recognize. I can do all things. There's no limit on that. There's no limit to faith. Because faith is laying hold of one who is unlimited, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. I can do all things. Greater works than these shall ye do, the disciples were promised, because of the Holy Spirit with them. If you have the Holy Spirit of Christ in your soul, strengthening grace and strengthening faith, what is there, dear friend, that is impossible? Oh, how little we understand this. How little we live according to it. But is it any wonder that they wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, turned to flight the armies of aliens, waxed valiant in fight, subdued kingdoms? That was the Old Testament saints. What about the New Testament saints? What did the apostles do? They turned the world upside down. Nations are born in a day through the preaching of the gospel. With God, nothing shall be impossible. That's what Paul has realized. How little we realize it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can come through this world, and all that I have to endure, and all that I must suffer. To be kept to the end. To press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God which is in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, lay hold of that strength. To give you faith to lay hold of that strength. As we've already said, trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. May the Lord bless his word to us.